Good morning. You are all rowdy this morning. It's spring, and spring has sprung. Praise the Lord. Let's hope that the temperatures go right there with that. Would you join me this morning in prayer? Gracious and most holy God, we give you thanks for another day. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to gather, to worship you, to praise you in the freedoms, Lord, that we have, not only in you, but in this country. We pray, Lord, you continue to lead us and guide us as your people, that you, Lord, would be involved here today and be honored here today, Lord. Open our hearts and minds for what you have for us. We praise you and we give you thanks. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just as a reminder, there's prayer cards, praise cards in front of you. Fill those out and we'll have the kids come around, or somebody will come around and gather these up this morning in a little bit. So you have a chance to fill them out, and then we'll put them up here across the front. And then anytime you want to, you can go up to the altars, get one, and take it back with you. And then you can pray over it throughout the week. They will be also put on our webpage so that you can pray for them there as well. Two announcements I have. I'm going to pass back a sign-up sheet. I keep forgetting about this thing. Here, thank you. This is for those who are leading and or facilitating. It is not to sign up for the class that we're going to do on commitment to holiness. I'm looking for leaders and or facilitators. Facilitators are one who's going to host it, and you can have somebody else lead it. We want to do these in our homes so that we can invite our neighbors, our work friends, our whichever, to come and join us. Maybe it's a relative that you want to invite. Come them over and be a part of this small group study we're doing. We're going to try to keep it between 6 and 8 people all together, so somewhere in that area, so that we don't want big ones. That way you can grow a little bit if you so desire or can. In your worship folder, again, are these AI-generated. I'm going to give chat the threat or the praise, thank you, that it deserves. But they're very, looks good to me. So I've been looking them over, and they've been getting better and better as we go along. Maybe it's the person who's trying to get it to do what he wants it to, hopefully. So please enjoy those and use them to grow in the grace and knowledge of who we are. We did forget to announce about the yard signs, which were right here in plain sight. If you'd like to get one of those to take home, please just come up, sign one out so we know where they're at, and you can bring them back, hopefully whenever. But if you can put them in your front yards for a little while, that helps to let the world know that we exist. We are going to continue our journey through Matthew. And last week we looked at judging as condemning or discerning, right? The two different ways to judge. That we are not to condemn, but that we are to be discerning by judging with righteous judgment, right? Remember what it says in John, judge with righteous judgment. That to judge a person's salvation is not ours to do, it is God, and He examines the heart. He examined what motivates us to do the things we do. That's what it's talking about there. We did find out that the opposite of judging is to forgive. We are to be forgiving. And that we condemn, we withhold forgiveness because we worry that they, whoever they happens to be, won't get what we think is their due. Their comeuppance, as we like to say. We're worried about that. And that Jesus has been talking about worry and prayer and all of that. It's all the same. It's all the same sermon. Now, we also looked at sharing the wisdom we have obtained, the pearls, remember the pearls before swine and all that, with unbelievers, with Gentiles, right? that we may come in contact with. We see something and we want to cast those pearls, throw them at them. We shouldn't do that. You see, to throw your wisdom to those not under the reign of God, not part of the kingdom, is to invite retaliation. We may throw them at them instead of to them. We have to be careful. Those outside the church do not have our morals and our views of what's right and what's wrong. Just turn on the television. Just watch anything. And you can see that their morals are not ours and not God's. God's word is what we live by. They do not. And as I said last week, they didn't sign up to follow Jesus. You did. And we have to remember that. We signed up to follow Jesus. We're the ones who... We need to be very careful when we share the gospel. Yes, we are to continue to share it. But don't accuse somebody of being a sinner. They already know. We need to come alongside them and help them build relationships and help them out of that muck and mire of the world. Now, let's look at where we're at today. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look at verses 7 through 14, and we're going to eventually get to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. But let's deal with where we're at today. I'm sorry. It's okay. It's not you, it's me. I can't believe I just said that. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now that is asking, that is seeking, that is knocking, that is ongoing. It doesn't stop, right? All right, just so we're good on that. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or what person is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? I said that wrong. Or if he asks for a snake, will give fish, will give him a snake. Will he? Question mark. So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way, or road, depending on your translations, is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is narrow, and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are few who find it. Now, obviously, these six verses are about prayer. Plain and simple, right? We have the privilege of prayer because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We're about to celebrate that. We're about to look at that as we go into this these coming couple weeks. When he died for our sin, remember that, when he died for our sin, the veil was rent from top to bottom. The way was opened into the Holy of Holies. A way was provided for us to approach the very throne of grace. That is an awful privilege, or awesome privilege, that we have as his children. Think about this. To make it more intimate and personal, you can crawl into Dad's lap whenever you want and let him know your problems. Tell him how your day is going. Complain, whine, and gripe. And he still wants to hear from us in all of those things. Now, we as believers can't approach the throne of grace. And we know this is about prayer, but what is prayer? What exactly is prayer? Why do we pray? When do we pray? And what happens when we pray? Those are questions we need to ask ourselves, right? So what is prayer? Let's look at that first. Prayer is basically communication with God. Plain and simple. It's talking to God, right? But it goes a little bit deeper than that. It is a conversation, speaking, listening, because we seem to stop at the speaking part. We want to give God our lists, but we need to listen as well. So speaking, listening, the part I don't like, waiting, and responding. We respond to by what we hear. When we get answered prayer, what is your response? Hopefully you have one. It's gratitude, right? We're thanking the good Lord for what He has done for us. We're giving praise back to Him for His for answering our prayers. Now, we can hear from God either through His Word, through our prayers, through other believers or circumstances. And that comes straight from experiencing God. So you, just so you know where I got it, comes right out of what we were taught in the class. And if you hadn't taken it, this is a plug for that class. We'll be doing it again, I'm sure, just not right away. Like with any human conversation, it is about relationship and building intimacy with our Creator. It is not a negotiation. You do not place conditions. Prayer is not a transaction. For instance, God, if you will do this for me, I will, you know, fill it out. Let me give you one I've heard, and I will tell you I got this from a television. God, if I win the lottery, I will, I'll give back a tenth. Well, we could do better. At the very least, it's not a transaction. Prayer is to build a relationship. Now, God is not under any kind of obligation to answer your prayer immediately. We'll get to that. Not in, maybe it won't happen exactly the way you want it to. But like I said, we'll get that. Though it could happen immediately. It can. I'm just saying He's not under obligation to do that. And I will tell you that you cannot rule out hearing from God physically. You may not be an audible, but I'm saying it can happen. I don't want to rule out anything. He's God, I'm not, right? We have to be careful with what we say. Now, prayer is acknowledging our need for God. Remember how the Lord taught us in chapter 6 to pray, Our Father, Your name, Your kingdom, Your will. Now, we need to keep in mind that all that comes right before give us. Your will, Your way, Your kingdom. And then give us. Prayer reorders our lives and our priorities. Okay? 1 John 5:14 says this. And I have it underlined. This is the confidence that we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to my way, His way, His will, He hears us. He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Maybe not in the moment that we want it, because He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He knows what's best. He's never late. He's never early. Right on time. And that's where we struggle. So, prayer is dependence. We humbly approach the throne of the King, surrendering our will to His as creatures before their Creator. Right? When we go to prayer, you're approaching, you're going to the very entity that hung the sun and the stars, who causes this world to whirl around at 65,000 miles an hour. That's this way, around the sun, and spin at the same time. And then He has to juggle all of that other planets and gravity and all that. He's doing that. And guess what? He's listening to you. That's awesome. That is an awesome, awesome thing. So, from Him, we receive grace, wisdom, strength, and our daily bread.
That's what Jesus taught us to pray. So why do we pray? Well, we have a list of things that we think why we should pray. And all too often we pray only to get things resolved or removed or to get, when it should be to build a relationship with our God and King. When you pray, do you concentrate more on what you need or the problem, or on the Father, our Father, who can take care of the situation? Where is your focus? It's easily the problem. I understand that. We need to refocus on who's going to solve it. Who's going to take care of it? As I said, we don't pray just to get things. We pray to deepen our relationship. And in the process, we, through the influence of prayer and Bible reading, through the relationships we are building, are changed. That's what we get out of it. That's part of what we get out of it. We're changed. Prayer shifts our focus from the problem to the problem solver. And it needs to shift. Prayer shapes us into the likeness of Christ. Did you ever think about that? When we're praying, when we're spending time in prayer, it's changing us. Oswald Chambers said this: to say that prayer changes things is not as close to the truth as saying prayer changes me and then I change things. God has established things so that prayer, on the basis of redemption, changes the way a person looks at things. It changes our perspective. What's more important to us? Our priorities change because of prayer. Prayer is how we maintain our relationship with our Father, as well as how we obtain spiritual strength, solutions, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. When our faith is in Him and not in the situation, that focus changes again, right? Now, prayer is also spiritual warfare. And we miss this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. It's part of your further reading, I believe. Finally, this is starting 6:10, Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. That's part of our prayer, right? Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, that some of your translations say shoes. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be alert with all perseverance and every request for all the saints. For all the saints. These verses help us all they tell us the why of prayer. Okay? Notice the flow. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes or readiness. It doesn't say it exactly like that in this translation, which I really wanted to change it. But here. Shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Every prayer is meant to be prayed in the armor. And the armor is meant to be taken up through prayer. Think about it. As you pray, you're taking up the armor of God, right? Think of it this way. You fasten the belt of truth by praying truth. You put on the breastplate of righteousness by praying for in repentance and faith. Right? We get his righteousness. You're praying in repentance and faith. You take up the shield of faith by praying your trust in God. Faith, trust. You wear the helmet of salvation by praying your identity in Christ. You are a new creation, a child of the King, redeemed, forgiven. That is who you are. If you ask just about any guy, who are you? I'm an electrician. I'm a plumber. I'm fill in the blank, right? No, that's what you do. That's not who you are. I'm a child of the King. I can approach the throne of grace. I can do these things not because of anything I did, because of what Jesus Christ did for me at the cross. We need to remember that. That's who I am. You wield the sword of the Spirit by praying Scripture and through your obedience to it. Now, the sword is both a defensive weapon and an offensive weapon. All the armor we've talked about before is defensive. We fight back with the word, right? We put on the full armor of God with every prayer and request. The armor of God is not something we put on once. It is something we put on continually through prayer. Then we are told to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to get in trouble. What is praying in the Spirit? Let me answer that. Scripture tells us that praying in the Spirit is praying according to the will of God. Because in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, now in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So when we're praying in the Spirit, we're praying according to the will of God. We're allowing the Spirit to speak through us or for us more than anything else. So, to sum up these verses here in Ephesians, stand firm by putting on the full armor of God and by praying at all times according to the will of God. Now, the armor is defensive, prayer is offensive. We've already talked about that. We're fighting back, and the sword is both. And that's where we find the answer to when we are to pray. When are you to pray?
All the time.
All the time. Right. At all times. That's what it said. At all times. Again?
Unceasingly.
We're going to talk about that. That comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 5:17. Slow down, Kenny. Pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12 tells us to be devoted to prayer. If you're devoted to something, is it just every now and then? It's all the time. It comes back to that every time. In Luke 18, a lot of scripture today. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, about praying all the time. Now, he was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and not become discouraged. Ought to all the time. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect any person. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me justice against my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect any person, yet because this widow is bothering me, I will give her justice. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, listen to what the unrighteous judge said. How now? I hate it when I can't read. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust, unrighteous judge said. Now, will God not bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? And will he delay long for them? Who are God's elect? Raise your hands. You can raise both of them, right? We're praising the Lord. Because it's us. It's us. For them for long. I tell you, he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith? Will he find us faithfully praying? Faithfully praying. It takes faith to pray and to continue to pray, to not lose hope. It takes faith. How many of you have prayed for a long time for something and it hasn't happened yet? Don't stop. Just don't stop. Because he hears you and he will answer you when it's perfectly timed. Because he can see things we can't. But when do we want it? Now. And how do we want it? What was that?
Yesterday.
And how do we want it? The way we planned it, the way we think it should look. It doesn't happen that way. At least not all the time. Prayer is how we fight back. Prayer is how we fight. Plain and simple. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, be persistent. Plain and simple, that's how we're to do it. You can start a conversation with God with good morning. Thank you for this day. Then you can get out of bed. Or you can say, thank you, I haven't done anything bad yet. I'm done really good. And then get up. Because that's what I have to do. So, our Father is not going to give us something that we cannot use. That's what we're talking about in these verses, right? Like a rock when we ask for bread. He will not give us anything that will cause us harm, like a snake. Our Father, hallowed be his name, will give good things to those who ask him. Just like we would our children or grandchildren. Though it tends me more for the grandchildren. It may not be good for them, but yeah. He will take care of things. Like I said, maybe not in the way you or I would want or expect, but always in and for our best in the long run. You see, our problem is, we want it now for the short run, and he's looking for our eternity. And we have to remember that. We have to remember that. Now, verse 12. I don't know about you, but I want to be treated with love and kindness. And understanding. Let's add that in there. Because when I go to the car shop and I go in to get something done and it turns out that I need, and there's a list. Yes. You need ball joints. You need all of the stuff. You need new bearings. Whatever. It is like at that moment, I need God. Of course, the meme on Facebook goes, you need God to go to where? Walmart. We do need God. But we want to be treated with love and kindness no matter where we go. And we're supposed to do that. That's what the golden rule is, right? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. It sums up all of the Old Testament, basically, is what he's saying. Okay? Now, How is this part of the... it's still part of the continued teaching, but it doesn't seem to fit. Right? That bothered me. So, you know, the therefore refers back, right? It says, in everything, therefore, looking back. So that's what I went back and did. Jesus is teaching on prayer. That's what he's been teaching. When we pray, we receive the Father's generosity, right? We experience his kindness, and we gain knowledge of who he is if we are doing prayer the way we talked about, listening as well as speaking. We gain knowledge of who he is, and then through that we are shaped by his love, grace, and mercy. What does it say? Be thankful. When you start giving that list of being thankful from Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. When we start thinking back of all the things he's done for us and we're grateful, we can learn to trust because we know he got us through that. He'll get me through this. He's generous. We've experienced his kindness. We gain knowledge of who he is. And we're shaped by his love, his grace, and his mercy. Prayer forms the kind of heart that treats others the way God treats us. As Oswald Chambers said, we are changed when we devote ourselves to prayer. I'm summing up what he said. Therefore, we begin to treat others with the same love, grace, and mercy shown us. We love because he first loved us. Prayer produces the golden rule, which is the fruit of a life of prayer. That's what we're being shown here. It's not disconnected. It's not just one little gold nugget amongst all others. Again, we love because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. That is exactly what we saw in Ephesians 6. Prayer is not separate from the armor. It activates it. In the same way, prayer is not separate from love. It forms it in our hearts. And what's God looking at? Our hearts. What's the heart do? It's what motivates us. Biblically speaking, it's what motivates us. Now, verses 13 and 14. They're still connected. Don't think that they're separate just because there's some kind of division in your Bibles. Remember, who made the division in the Bibles that summed it up into chapter and verses? Man. So we have to watch that and be careful with it sometimes. I'm not saying they did a bad job. It's just sometimes it could be read a little differently. The narrow gate is not about salvation by effort. It's about being made Christ-like. Prayer aligns us with our Father, which in turn produces love, and that love is the narrow way. There are some people that it is very hard to love. I did not look at my mother-in-law, no matter what she said. There are people in 94 that don't know how to drive. Some of you were telling me about your experiences this morning in Sunday school class. But there are those people that are hard, very difficult, almost impossible to love. And yet God calls us to do what? Love your neighbor. But they're in the other car. They're still your neighbor. They're on the same highway. The narrow way is not legalism or rule following. It's not just a set of wrongs and rights that we're to do, right? The narrow way is humility, mercy, love, grace, forgiveness, and generosity, kingdom living, which is ultimately obedience to the word and will of God done out of love and gratitude. Right back to where we were. Love and gratitude. And prayer is how we walk the narrow way. I need God's enabling power to walk in this world. If I want to live as a Christian. If I want to live as a believer. I need Him with me. And I need Him to, don't do that. We were at an auction, Mindy and I, and they were selling buggy whips. You know, really long, and then there's that little piece on the end about this long. I wanted to buy that for my kids. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Because it would have worked. Really worked.
For a while.
For a while. I want the Spirit to do that with me. That's not for you. Get away from that. Don't go there. Don't say that. And don't think it. Now, the thinking part is hard. But if it's not traveling from here to here, God's grace will cover it. Because you stopped it. And it's probably because He enabled you to stop it through His grace that it didn't happen. So, prayer is how we walk the way, the road. We're strengthened and empowered by the Spirit. The way of destruction is the way of the world. Disobedience, immorality, pride, unforgiveness, and selfishness, all of which God has talked to us or Jesus has talked about in one way or another over this journey through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, every time I see the word destruction, I am taken immediately to 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Okay, because that word, just for whatever triggers that, and it's the broad way that leads people to eternal destruction. And this is from that 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, of His might, depending on your translations. The way of destruction leads us away from that. Why would we go that way? You see, in the end, for everyone, the choice is yours. It's mine. I make the choice. I choose the way of destruction, heaven or hell. Or I can choose the way of God and His kingdom, or the way of the world. What are you choosing? What are you choosing in the moment you're in the now that you're in, throughout the day? We talked a little bit about this in class this morning. Sometimes I don't recognize I've done something till after it's done, and then I have to try to change myself for the next situation that I find myself in that type of situation. I have to become more aware. You know how I become more aware? Prayer. Prayer. It's coming back to God's love, prayer, relationship. This whole thing, if summed up in one word, is love for us. Love. And I have stuff all stuffed through it. It'll fall out. It's love. It's a love letter to us. And we miss it. We love because He first loved us. So, what are you choosing today? What have you chosen the last few days? What did you choose when last time you were on 94? What did you choose the last time you were at work and your coworker did or said something that made you really happy? And that was sarcasm. What about at home? What are you choosing? The narrow way or the broad way? All too often it's the broad way. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to pray together. And the praise team's going to come up, and the altars are open so that you can come up and ask God for whatever it is you may need to walk the narrow way. Discernment, wisdom, strength. And then we're going to close a little differently than we normally do. And I'll explain that when that comes. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, you have given us the privilege of coming directly to you, of humbling ourselves, Lord, in the knowledge that we need you. And Lord, we do. We need you desperately. We need your power. We need your strength. We need you to guide us, to stop us, to check us, to push us. We need you. Help us, Lord, to live the lives you've called us to live and to be the people you've called us to be. Help us to forgive as you forgive, to be understanding, merciful, full of grace. Your grace, Lord. Help us to walk the narrow way, to follow the golden rule. In Jesus' name. I'm about to get myself into a whole lot of trouble. Because I'm going to ask all of you folks on this side to find somebody on that side, and all of you folks on that side to find somebody on this side, and form up groups of 3 to 4 people and pray for each other. It doesn't have to be some close friend. Just find a couple people to pray with. You want me to do that right now? I'm doing this for the folks at home, so just bear with me. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that we can approach the very throne of grace. We thank you for this time of fellowship that we're about to partake in after our prayer. And we thank you for the food. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Amen.